And to be a pilgrim, we first need to seek first the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The gospel lesson appointed for this, the 15th Sunday in Trinity, represents the climax of the teaching of Jesus on this Sermon on the Mount, recorded in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the Gospel of St. Matthew. The simplest and most difficult of all sermons. Simple by the virtue of its uncompromising directness. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and riches. Therefore, do not be anxious about food or raiment, drink or clothing. The whole of nature rests upon the providence of God. Consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. How much more readily should conscious, rational beings rest upon that providence, us? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? God feeds the birds and clothes the lilies. Why then should he be anxious? Your heavenly Father knows your needs. I have to admit guilt to that when I saw this tropical depression nine aiming for Charleston as a bullseye. I had to think to myself, I can worry about it, but it's not going to change the outcome. Fortunately, by God's grace, I know the people praying it's supposedly going to take a sharp turn east before it gets anywhere near the coast. So that's good. Bermuda seems to be in its crosshairs, but we'll see what happens with that. So it is simple and direct. It is a simple and direct prescription. Its appeal is winsome. In the maelstrom of credit cards, power bills, tax credits, parking tickets, and cholesterol counts, and acid rain and nuclear fallout, and all the rest, how lovely is it to consider the birds of the field and the lilies. I just see a hearing on the classical music station, I get on Sirius, about Rachel Carson's The Silent Spring. And all that doomsday, and the birds are still singing this morning. God will take care of it. We're supposed to be stewards of the earth, but not worship the earth, but worship him that gave it to us and take care of it. And that's the extent of it. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. It is simple and direct and appealing. But is it possible? Could it be possible? It is simple, no doubt, for sentiment, but oh, so immensely difficult in actuality. Again, we're told, but O ye of little faith, says Jesus, seek ye first God's kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. The counsels of the Sermon on the Mount are counsels of perfection, and much of the history of the church consists of the search for and striving after that simple perfection of life. In ancient times, St. Matthew's, whose festival we kept last week, left the receipt of custom, the tax collector, the IRS of its day, to follow the steps of a wandering preacher. Imagine him. This guy comes over, he doesn't even have a house to live in, and he follows him. He says, come and follow me. And Matthew had that kind of courage. Would to God that we'd have that kind of courage when God calls us something untoward to us. St. Anthony the Hermit gave away all his possessions and betook himself to the deserts of Egypt, renouncing the world of getting and spending. St. Francis of Assisi, whose feast will be this coming week, son of an Italian nobleman, embraced Lady Poverty, that he might live as the birds and the lilies, simply in the providence of God. The examples are endless and manifold in their character. Again, over and over again, sometimes words said over and over again are in order. And again, I say, as he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But these counsels of perfection, what can they mean for us? Are they some kind of beautiful and romantic, but impossible dreams? Jesus makes it clear that his counsels are for here and now. Listen to what he says at the conclusion of the sermon. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. It was founded upon a rock. And of course, that rock is Jesus Christ himself and his church. What Jesus intends is a direct and eminently practical lesson about life here and now. And that portion of his sermon, which is today's gospel lesson, is an eminently practical lesson about our involvement with this world's concerns and this world's goods. We are so easily seduced into regarding these things as ends in themselves. That is what it means to serve mammon. Today's gospel would remind us that the things of this world, however good, are not ends, but means. Things of this world, however good, are not ends, but means. Means towards an end, which is spiritual and eternal. The knowledge and love of God, God's kingdom and his righteousness. Mammon, on the other hand, is a false god. And the service of man, mammon, is idolatry, the worship of money, the worship of things, of power, etc. And it is the essence of idolatry to trust the things of this world as though they were a final and ultimate significance. Idolatry is the worship of worldly things. It is a subtle but constant, ever-present danger to the spiritual lives of all of us. That's why St. Paul has in mind when he says to the Galatians in today's epistle, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." The point is not that we should forego or escape from the toils and the satisfactions and the trials of life in this world. But we should see all these things in their limitations, in the perspective of the spiritual end they serve. Our trials, our prosperities, our joys, our sorrows, should inform us of our spiritual condition. And we go to Christ, flee to him, to lead us through these times, good and bad, who by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature. Life is more than reaping and gathering into barn. The point is that we should see our life and our labors in the context of the providence of God, that perpetual mercy of which today's collect speaks, that providence which moves all things firmly and sweetly to the divinely appointed end. And in that perspective, how foolish is our anxiety. Seek first God's kingdom and his eternal providence, his perpetual mercy. All will be well. And in a few minutes, let's partake of his body and blood that will nourish us and help us all along the way as he does feed us with his body and blood to help body and soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.